Good morning. Welcome. For those of you who are with us on Facebook, please participate in worship by commenting or liking as worship proceeds. This is going to sound strange, but I encourage those of you who are present in the sanctuary to log into Facebook on your phone and participate on your phone as well as in person. Please turn the volume down, and as you see members of our digital congregation join, welcome them. Let us truly be a warm and welcoming church, both in person and online. I have several announcements this morning. Session committees are meeting in preparation for this month's session meeting, and the property committee will be meeting tomorrow at 5:30 instead of last week, and the finance and Christian education committees are meeting Wednesday at 5:30. If you would like to be more involved in the ministry of the church, please let Gordon or any member of session know. Libby would like us to know that the newsletter deadline is Friday, October 15th, for the upcoming November issue. Please get any announcements or articles to her by Friday. On the front pew right here, we have copies of the old Presbyterian hymnal. If your family donated one, we ask that you come and pick them up. They're alphabetized by last name, and take it home. If you would not like to take it home and would like to share it with someone else, feel free to leave it in the narthex on the table. Please let the church office know of any joys and concerns and prayer requests that you may have. You can always email them to us at fpcpastor@consolidated.net. Mary Leah would like us to remember that Circle 3 starts tomorrow, and they're going to be working on the Janie Bag inventory at 5:30, and at 6, she will lead the lesson. And after the meeting, you are welcome to go out to eat at a place to be determined. You'll notice that our ritual friendship pads are back in the pews this morning. There is quite the announcement in your bulletin, and I encourage you to read that. But this is an important part of worship also, because it lets us meet our pew neighbors and say hello, and it lets the church office know who is in physical attendance on Sundays and gives us an opportunity to reach out to those that we are missing. And there's one more. If you're worshiping with us online and would like a bulletin, please let us know in the church office, and we can send you a PDF version by email, or if you prefer, we can mail you one. Our email address is fpc@consolidated.net. Are there any other announcements that I missed? Let us worship the Lord.
Oh, I do have one more announcement that I just learned about after I came up here, and that is that Dave Franson has volunteered to organize Trunk or Treat this year. So if you want to participate in Trunk or Treat, please talk to Dave. This is the house of God. All are welcome here. Are there any prayer requests, joys, or concerns anyone would like to share? Let us pray. God of all who are cast down, you call us to seek good and to meet oppression with justice. Teach us to find salvation in the emptying of ourselves for the sake of those in need, so that goodness may prevail in your kingdom come in Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. O Lord, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us.
And prosper us, Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 475. Come, thou fount of every blessing. God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin, and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. O Lord, you are the maker of justice and the source of righteousness, the one who hears the cries of the suffering and who fills the hunger of the poor. Forgive us, O God, when we fail to reflect your just love, when we have food and food left over, but do not share with any in need, when we have power for good and power for change, yet we use it only for our own self-preservation, when we have the words of the prophets before us, yet we cover our ears lest they make us uncomfortable. Forgive us, O Lord, and teach us to follow in your way. Amen. Position to condemn us? Only Christ. Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed forgiven. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing Glory to God. Having received the peace of God's forgiveness, let's pass the peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
You may be seated. Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Faithful God, creator of all people, illuminate your word to us that we might hear what you would have us to hear and live as you would have us to live through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. It can be found on page 46 of the Pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Hear the word. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have this treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left his house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many are first, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Holy wisdom, holy words, thanks be to God.
Children. Hi, Lexi. No? We'll leave them with them. Okay. You know, a song like "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise" makes God seem so big and so far away. Like we could never reach God. Doesn't it sound like that sometimes? But have you ever noticed that when we pray, we often end our prayer by saying, "In Jesus' name"? Have you heard that before? Have you heard that before, Lillian, where we say, "In Jesus' name"? Well, but why do we say, "In Jesus' name"? We say that because Jesus is like a priest to us. Jesus has made God knowable to us. When we read about Jesus and how good and how kind Jesus was and how loving, we get a picture of God. Also, God was one of us when God was Jesus. God became truly human in Jesus. So between the two, we have a better picture of God, and God has an understanding of us as someone who lived as truly human. So when we say in Jesus' name, we're acknowledging that God is reachable. God is with us. We can pray directly to God by saying in Jesus' name. Okay? Let's say a prayer together. Lord God, we are so grateful that you listen to us, that you hear us, that we can call upon your name and you will hear us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Our next reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. Indeed, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And before him, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Last week, we reviewed what it means to be a priest. We talked about how the Hebrews were captives in Egypt, a land that had priests that worshiped gods that looked like animals. We talked about how the prophet Moses and his brother Aaron, the first high priest of the children of Israel, led the people to the promised land by way of Sinai, where God gave the people the Ten Commandments and established worship around the tent called the tabernacle and a symbol of the presence of God called the Ark of the Covenant. Only priests were allowed to transport the Ark, and only priests could go into the Holy of Holies, the place where the Ark was kept. We also recalled last week that when Jesus died, the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the people was torn in two when Jesus died on the cross. This event symbolizes how we have been ushered into the presence of God by Jesus, who is now our mediator. So now let's consider what it means that Jesus has ushered us into God's presence. and that Jesus understands us like no other. First, the presence of God was a fearsome thing. When Moses went on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, remember what happened? There was smoke on the mountain. There was fire. The mountain shook. There was thunder and lightning. No wonder they were scared of God. And when God spoke to Moses, it was like talking with thunder. The power of God was a scary thing. And the common belief was that if you went into the presence of God, you would die. Today's scripture, and words we use most every Sunday, the throne room of God, is reminiscent of the story of Esther. Now, as you recall, Esther was a Hebrew. She was a Hebrew woman married to King Ahasuerus, a king of the Medes and Persians. No one was allowed to go into the throne room of the Medes and Persians, not even a queen, on pain of death. If the king saw someone enter, he could extend his golden scepter to them, and they were spared. Well, Queen Esther learned of a plot to kill all the Hebrews in the country. So she agreed to go to the king and ask him for mercy for her people, even though she knew she was risking death by going into the throne room. Well, she went into the throne room and he extended the golden scepter, and she was spared. So that image, as you can see, is kind of explains the fear of going into the presence of a powerful being that could result in death. And that's kind of the analogy we use when we talk about fear of going in the presence of God. You know, in recent years, we've become kind of casual about going to God with our requests. However, it's through Jesus, our high priest, that we have that privilege and the confidence to go into the throne room of God and not fear death. It is our high priest, Jesus, who tore the curtain that separated us from the presence of God. It is our high priest, Jesus, who took away the fear and replaced it with the demonstration of God's parental love for us. When we go to the throne room of God, the golden scepter of God's favor is extended, even before we voice our prayers. We often end our prayers in Jesus' name. One reason we do this is acknowledging that going to God is a privilege. And it's through the loving mediation of Jesus Christ that we have that privilege. When God looks at us, God does not see the sinful humans, the children of Adam, who disobeyed God, but sees adopted children. Adopted children of God who, through Jesus Christ, have been cleansed of all unrighteousness. The words "in Jesus' name" are not magic words that make the prayer be heard. They are words of acknowledgement that Jesus is our mediator, fully human, fully God. Like Queen Esther, we needed someone to go to God who's favored by God. The priestly mediator is kind of like a lawyer who's hired to go to a judge. In our system, anybody can go to court pro se, meaning for himself or for herself. However, most people hire a lawyer who knows the laws, knows the procedures, and has some familiarity with the court. Hopefully, the lawyer hired to mediate the claim has some familiarity with the court to which they're going. So Jesus, our mediator, our agent, our attorney, our lawyer in the court of God, is not only familiar with the court, but was raised in the court. As we heard last week, reminiscent of John 1:1, Jesus was with God at creation. Jesus was in the beginning with God and is God. Thomas Long, a famous preacher and writer of a commentary on Hebrews, calls this the parabola of salvation. Now, before you get out your geometry text, a parabola is a U-shaped curve that begins high, goes low, comes high again. When Tom Long talks about the parabola of salvation, he's describing the trajectory that Jesus took on our behalf. Jesus was in the beginning with God. Jesus was holy and separate with God. Jesus took part in creation. Jesus was, as we have heard in Hebrews, above the angels. Yet, Jesus agreed to come down to earth and be incarnate, that is, to become flesh for us and for our salvation. And by becoming human like us, Jesus took on the necessity of death. Jesus took on the experience of pain and suffering. Jesus took on the full meaning and full experience of what it means to be truly human. Today's scripture uses the word sympathy. The word sympathy means to feel with. This is an unusual word to use for God, who was generally believed to be without emotion. Emotion is seen as human, characteristic, as a human characteristic that's fickle and changing. Traditionally, creedal statements have affirmed that God is immutable or unchangeable, therefore necessarily without emotion. However, in recent years, books like Jürgen Moltmann's The Crucified God have emphasized that God feels our pain. The writer of Hebrews emphasizes the same God who's not apathetic without feeling, but is sympathetic, feels our pain. We have a God through Jesus who's been there, done that, got the t-shirt, as the saying goes. I've noticed that when there's a tragedy in the news, I always feel it more acutely when I've been where the tragedy occurred. Particularly if I have a connection with the people or the place where the tragedy is involved and where the tragedy occurs. For example, I've been in a house that flooded. Suddenly, the water came in and kept going up. We had over 2 feet of water in my house. I feared for the life of my children as the water rose, and I did not know how high it would go before it stopped. I have wondered how I would ever get the house back put together. And I have feared with every heavy rain that it might happen again. When I hear on the news of people experiencing floods, I have a greater understanding of what they're going through because I've been there, done that. We have a Lord and Savior who's been there, done that. Paul in Philippians 2 says it this way. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave,
being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See the parabola? High, low, high. Jesus, the glorious Son, participant in creation. Jesus, the suffering Son, who agreed to be lower than the angels. Jesus, the triumphant Son, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus is Creator, Redeemer, Ruler. Who is there better to be our mediator? Notice that today's scripture says not only that we can now approach the throne of God, but we can do it with confidence, boldly. We know that we will, what we will find at the throne of God. We will find mercy, an extended golden scepter of acceptance. You've probably noticed that in addition to our order of worship, we've added the Kyrie eleison. The words in Greek mean, Lord, have mercy. The ancient words going back to the earliest days of the church remind us of our need for forgiveness, but are also sung with the assurance that our forgiveness has already been accomplished. We acknowledge that only God through Jesus can accomplish our forgiveness. As we remember our loving Savior, who did, in fact, what was necessary to usher us into the throne room of God with confidence. We remember our loving Savior, who can mediate for us as our high priest, because he has been there, done that. Thanks be to Jesus, our high priest. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let us stand together and say what we believe using the affirmation of faith that is printed in your bulletin, adapted from the Confession of 1967. What do you believe? Jesus Christ is God with humankind. He is the eternal Son of the Father, who became human and lived among us to fulfill the work of reconciliation. He is present in the church by the power of the Holy Spirit to continue and complete his mission. This work of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the foundation of all confessional statements about God, humanity, and the world. Therefore, the church calls all people to be reconciled to God and to one another. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 735, I Need Thee Every Hour.
Thank you.
appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our offerings to the Lord. Would the ushers please come forward? Bountiful God, you give without measure. May our giving reflect your generosity. May our lives overflow with your deep love. Use our lives and the gifts we bring today to share your blessing in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Remembering the world that God so loves, we pray to the Maker of heaven and earth, saying, "Let your will be done." We pray for the church. Show us the way to your kingdom, the way of humility and service, the way of following Christ. Let your will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
We pray for the world. Inspire us to seek good and not evil, establishing righteousness in the land and justice for the poor. Let your will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
We pray for our communities. Strengthen us to serve you faithfully. Look with favor upon our common efforts and prosper the work of our hands. Let your will be done. We pray for the earth. Make us grateful for the beauty around us. Help us to work to preserve your creation. Grant us caring hearts for your creatures. Let your will be done. We pray for loved ones. Remember us in our weakness and sin. Help us to approach your throne with confidence, discovering your grace in our time of need. Let your will be done. Sovereign God, keep us watching and working for the promise of your heavenly realm until all the earth rejoices at your coming in glory through Jesus Christ, the Lord of life. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 702, our hymn of the month, Christ Be Beside Me. To you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Know that through Jesus Christ, you can go to the throne room of God with confidence, knowing that you will find goodness, love, forgiveness, and mercy there. May we all live as persons with that kind of access to power. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.